You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Moldeen. Illinois has been home to some of America's great poets, Carl Sandburg and Gwendolyn Brooks, who was the first African-American woman to receive the Pulitzer Prize for Literature. They were also both Illinois Poet Laureates, who worked to make the art of poetry more accessible to people in their everyday lives. Two Illinois towns, Urbana and Aurora, recently appointed their own poet laureates for the first time. WNIJ's Jenna Dooley recently sat down with Kevin Stein, who was poet laureate of Illinois from 2003 to 2017 and was a professor of English at Bradley University, to ask him about the role and to do a reading. She started by asking him how he viewed his role as the state's poet laureate.
Kevin, can you walk through what your duties were while you were state poet laureate?
The state poet laureate's position is an odd one in a way, because there's no stipend, no project budget, no travel budget, and therefore the state seems to sort of appoint one and then turn their back on you to some degree. The good part of that is that one can create a program, an agenda of one's own devices. And so I did just that, and I worked with, I think, using the model of Gwendolyn Brooks, the activist laureate that she was. I also tried to put poetry in places that it wasn't expected. So I presented nearly 250 events in schools, libraries, book clubs, universities. I read a poetry sermon from the pulpit of a Unitarian church. I read at a factory, several nursing homes, did a lot of judging and that sort of thing. So the activist laureate role was to put poetry in places where people didn't necessarily expect to find it. I also started a couple of websites, because I know I can't get there everywhere, and I wanted to bring the poet laureateship into the 21st century. And so I maintained a stable of great audio and video poems of Illinois poets presenting their work and youth poetry and the like. And we also sponsored a emerging poets competition with the Secretary of State's office and the Illinois State Library. Did that for 16 years, and that contest is still underway. And many of our winners of that competition have gone on to publish a full-length collection. So that's just been really gratifying for me. I also co-sponsored a grade, middle, and high school poetry competition with the Illinois Association of Teachers of English. So we tried to support youth poetry in all ways. And so we really tried to find ways to extend what Ms. Brooks did, because she was amazing, and then to add our own flourishes along the way.
Let's talk about those Illinois poets. What contribution has Illinois made to poetry, either recently or throughout the state's history?
The 20th and 21st centuries have been notable, frankly, beginning with someone like Carl Sandburg over 100 and some years ago. He introduced us to the notion of income inequality, if you will, through his populist work. And we also, Ms. Brooks, Gwendolyn Brooks, was the first African-American to win the Pulitzer Prize, a notable achievement. There's the Chicago Renaissance, the Poetry Magazine, the Poetry Foundation in Chicago, with an international venue for poetry, publishing T.S. Eliot and Ezra Pound early on. In more recent times, we've had Mark Smith, who created the Poetry Slam, and that Poetry Slam is now a worldwide phenomenon. Liesl Mueller, a wonderful poet who just passed, unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks. Ms. Mueller was an immigrant fleeing with her family Nazi Germany, learned to write poetry in her, what she called her second language, and won the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. So you have a gaggle of really talented and thoughtful poets in the state currently, and you have a vibrant history of Illinois poetry in the past.
I'm thinking, too, of Vachel Lindsay, who founded Singing Poetry.
That's exactly the case. And of course, our first poet laureate, Howard Austin, was famous for impromptu poems that involved a kind of early kind of performance poetry. He would go to Governor Horner's as political smokers, observe and listen, and then he and his quartet would perform the poem that he wrote. So he was, as with Lindsay, an early forerunner in a kind of poetry that was to be performed and received in front of an audience, as opposed to being published only in a book.
Well, you mentioned performance, and I don't want to make you sing, because that's not your style of poetry, but I was wondering if you could do a reading for us.
Well, I'd be pleased to. And what I'll do is read you a short poem titled "A Poem Buried in a Time Capsule to be Unearthed in April 2097. And this poem comes about from my being asked right after I got to Bradley University, where I taught for my career in Illinois, being asked to donate one of my early books to this time capsule. And I donated the book and I slipped this poem under the front cover without anybody knowing. So, poem buried in a time capsule to be unearthed in April 2097. Citizens, what did you find when awakened this morning? Your sky as blue as ours, a few sparrows rustling among lime green leaves of April maples, all people fed and housed and free. This would be the great blessing, though a far greater surprise.
Thank you so much for sharing that poetry. And what I love about the poem you read is it leaves a legacy too. Decades and decades from now, when that actually takes effect. It'll be interesting to see how the audience receives your words. I want to get to poet laureates in communities. Urbana, Illinois, and Aurora recently appointed their very first poet laureates. What do you see as the value of having someone in this position in a smaller town?
This is good news. And I know that Karen Christensen was just appointed in Aurora, and I didn't know about Urbana until our conversation. I'm delighted to hear that. Essentially, when you have a local or community poet laureate, you have in place an ambassador for poetry, someone to bring the pleasures of poetry to fresh audiences, as well as someone to heighten current devotees' appreciation of the art form. So you have a double function of teacher, cajoler. I suppose you become the aesthetic huckster, and you try to introduce folks to things that might scare them. And oftentimes language and the poem are an object of some concern to readers who aren't familiar, perhaps. They haven't read a lot of poems. Perhaps their experience in school was not the most positive one in receiving poetry. So what you have, essentially, in a community poet laureate, you're showing belief in poetry's public function. And I think that's really important. Right now, there is so much interest, a real surge of interest among young folks, spoken word and performance poets, and those poets understand quite clearly the link between the personal and the communal and the private and the public. And to me, that's only good for the culture as a whole and good for the individual as well.
That's Kevin Stein, the Illinois Poet Laureate from 2003 to 2017. Kevin, thanks for talking with us on the 21st.
Well, thanks for asking me. I really enjoyed it.
I want to bring another voice into the conversation now, Karen Follett Christensen, who was recently appointed as the City of Aurora's first poet laureate. She's a retired city worker and has written more than 3,000 poems. Karen, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much.
How do you view your role as the poet laureate of Aurora?
I feel very strongly that I'm an ambassador for poetry. And the best thing that's happened to me so far since I was installed in the middle of January is because I worked for the city for 13 years, I have a lot of connections in the community. And so people already knew who I was, which I suspect may have contributed to why I was appointed. And so wherever I go now, people are asking me about poetry. It's just really wonderful.
I also heard, though, that you strongly considered not applying.
I did. I was actually a little bit skeptical about what the purpose of this was going to be. I knew that whomever was appointed was going to have to devote a fair amount of time to this. And I'm already involved in a lot of organizations as a volunteer. But I wanted to make sure in my own mind that the city was really serious about this. And it wasn't just something that was going to be done to add another special name, you know, to things that the city was already doing.
And you felt like the application really spoke to you.
It did. I was really impressed. In fact, I waited almost till the very last minute to even look at the application, but I did. And I realized as I started to go through the questions that a significant amount of thought had gone into this. And then after I submitted the application, when I sat for an interview with the mayor, Mayor Richard Irvin, and the city's public information officer, Clayton Muhammad, we talked for well over an hour. And any skepticism that I had was gone after I heard them talk about what they wanted this role to encompass.
Let's dig into your love of poetry. Was there an Illinois poet who inspired you to start writing?
Well, of course, Gwendolyn Brooks. I grew up in Chicago, and I knew about her even when I was in high school. I'm 69 years old, so I was in high school from 64 through 68. And then I actually went to Northern Illinois University, where I graduated. But I think also having grown up in Chicago and being exposed to a lot of the music and art and so on that was going on during the 60s in Chicago, I was hearing poetry everywhere. I had been a big fan of the Beats. Even when I was in high school, I was fortunate that I had an English teacher who was pretty progressive and exposed us to those writers, despite the fact that maybe they were considered a little marginal. The fact that I grew up during the generation when there were so many singer-songwriters like Bob Dylan and Donovan, you know, that was all part of my high school experience. And I actually played folk guitar when I was in high school. So I was being inundated, if you will, with words. So it wasn't hard then to say, oh, I think maybe I'd like to try my hand at this.
We just heard a poem from former Illinois poet laureate Kevin Stein, and I'm wondering if you could share some of your work with us and read one of your poems.
I should, or rather I could. I'm going to read for you a poem called Why Poetry. We need to speak all the words that connect us, one to another. Sometimes we need to sing those words. Sometimes we need to dance those words. Sometimes we need to paint those words. No matter, our hearts know they yearn for release, a demand that comes with being human. Our hearts can burst unless we nurture the power to share. We crave mirrors reflecting our faces. We pound drums that will resonate. Our feelings were never meant for containment. If we lock them down, cover them over, press them flat, they rise up to hurt us and those around us. If we let them out, they color the world. They soften the hardships. They transform into love.
Beautiful. And optimistic as well.
Yeah, yeah. Good. I'm glad that you think so.
That was WNIJ's Jenna Dooley speaking with Aurora's first poet laureate, appointed in January, Karen Follett Christensen. Earlier, she was joined by former poet laureate of Illinois, Kevin Stein. A reminder that all this week we're answering your questions about the coronavirus. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, just go to askthenewsroom.org and we'll get right on it. That's all the time we have for today. Follow us on Twitter, search for 21STShow. We live tweet during the show with more analysis and background about what we're discussing. On our Facebook page, search for the 21st to like us. You can comment on what we're working on or post questions or comments you want us to ask on air. We're produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Eunice Alpazon is our intern. Technical direction and engineering come from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Moldine. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.